Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Bulls, your daily podcast on the Chicago Bulls. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere you can find podcasts. Make sure you leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. You can email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com with any basketball questions or advertising inquiries. Also follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls. We're presented today by Mack Weldon. Make sure you use the promo code LOBULLS. To get 20% off your first order. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. And Cody, you're not going to believe this, but the Bulls aren't really seeing themselves as a championship contender.
This is kind of a breath of fresh air, actually, after years of claiming that they were kind of in championship contention. And they were with Derrick Rose till those injuries, but it was clear, obviously, last year they weren't a championship contender, but had maintained they were. No less an authority than Dwayne Wade admitted today at basketball, after practice, that championship expectations are unrealistic, and basically saying, when you miss the playoffs, you don't think about championships, correct?
Right, he also basically said that, you know, there are two teams in the league that can come out and say our goal this year is to win a championship, and that's Cleveland and Golden State, because they were actually in the finals last year. Everybody else, it's you want to get to the finals before you can think about winning a championship, and in the case of the Bulls, it's you want to get to the playoffs and then think about getting through each round of the playoffs, and then maybe you can start thinking about championships. And obviously he admitted that it's a little unrealistic for that to be what happens with the Bulls. But yeah, I mean, it is interesting. And I actually went back today and looked at what Fred Hoiberg said when the Bulls announced him as their head coach a year ago for something I wrote for The Athletic. I was kind of contrasting what they said about expectations before last year and this year. And he said that this was a roster with championship-level expectations. And this year, you know, we asked him today at practice what his goals are for the team for the season. And he basically said he just wants them to get better every day and try to win as many games as possible and, you know, focus on the young players getting better. And that's really the kind of rhetoric that you hear from a coach of like a lottery team that is rebuilding and knows they're not going to be good for a few years, where the Bulls clearly are trying to make the playoffs because they signed Rondo and Wade and they didn't trade Jimmy. So like,
they're in a weird place on several fronts or whatnot regarding that, because again, that was a hastily put together team back in July in free agency with those additions. But Wade's words today, he said, quote, when you're coming off a season where as an organization you don't make the playoffs, your goal can't be winning a championship. Your goal has to be day-to-day making steps to improve yourself so you can get to the point where you're a playoff team. And then you go from there. It would be unrealistic to say, oh, we want to win a championship. Of course we do, but there's so many steps before you get to that. So that's the context of it in the greater good. So Dwayne Wade isn't sitting here saying the Bulls can't be successful. He's just, you know, I mean, he's taking a realistic approach to it. And I think this is just kind of another continuation of about Dwayne Wade being the adult in the room and in the organization. And striking the right tone and the right note. And I think it's good and helpful. And again, like, I know we've offered glowing reviews of praise for just what Dwayne Wade said and how he's carried himself. But you do have to realize this is refreshing to have some realists in this organization. Because, you know, like, fans are smart. This needs to be remembered. The Cubs just went through like a 4 or 5 year rebuilding phase in which they told their fans they were going to be really bad at baseball for a while, and they accepted it. So people in the city
they can take honesty and understand this, you know what I mean?
Right, as opposed to, you know, a situation like the Bears or the White Sox, where they, like, go into every year saying, yeah, we think we're going to be good this year, and then they're just mediocre, and I think the Bulls, you can kind of put in that same category. If you know that, if you don't get sold something that you think is going to be championship level, then it's a lot easier to deal with it not being championship level. Now, one thing I'll add to this about the expectations, the Bulls kind of got burned by expectations last year because, under normal circumstances, if they don't make the playoffs, then it's like, okay, fine, whatever. But the reason it was so egregious that they didn't make the playoffs was because it was the same roster as won 50 games and made it to the second round and almost went up 3-1 on the Cavs a year ago. And then the front office basically sold Fred Hoiberg as the reason that they were going to get better this year with the exact same roster. And Dwayne Wade has been burned with expectations too. If you remember in 2010, after LeBron did the decision, they did that giant like pep rally with him and Bosch and with the three of them. And they said, you know, how many championships are you trying to win? And it was like not one, not two, not three. And that just made it so much easier every time like the Heat, you know, that experiment wasn't working, or when they lost to Dallas in the finals that first year. It just gave everybody who didn't like the Heat just like something to point back to, saying, hey, they said all this stuff. So if you don't ever say, hey, we think we're a championship team, then nobody can ever say, hey, you lied to us.
Yeah, and I think that gets back to that 2014-15 season there, that spring when the Bulls did fall to the Cavs and mark the end of the Tom Thibodeau era. Like, when you reference what the Bulls are, what they'd said, what used to be expected, how good they used to be, like, you can kind of twist the narrative whichever way you wanted. Because in one sense, they just get beat by LeBron again and again. And they're never going to get over that hump. And they never were going to get over that hump because LeBron's the best player in the NBA and the Bulls weren't cut out to beat him. But at the same time, you trace back to that Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Semifinals, up 6 or 7 points with 6 or 7 minutes left in the game at home. They could have had a 3-1 series lead with one of those games left at home in the series still, and gone on to the Eastern Conference Finals, where I think they would have played the Hawks, would have expected them to move on to the NBA Finals, and probably not win the championship that year by any means, but that changes the narrative, you know what I mean? So when you trace back, it's just funny to think, yes, they did have a championship caliber roster for a time, but at the same time, was it really ever good enough? And now you twist it and move forward, and I think they've obviously finally moved out of that era.
Right, and there's nobody, you know, everybody's been super careful, not just today, but, you know, at Media Day and at the press conference after, you know, with the Dwayne Wade press conference this summer, nobody's said, oh, we think we can win this many games or get this playoff seed or win a championship. They've been purposefully vague about what their goals are, which I think is the smart, it's not as exciting, it's not really headline grabbing the way that, like, let's say Derrick Rose calling the Knicks a super team when they're not a super team is, you know, something that's going to grab headlines and drive the news cycle for a couple of days. But it's also, you're never going to get burned if you don't set those high expectations for yourself publicly that are not realistic. And Dwayne Wade coming out and saying, like, he is admitting that it's unrealistic to expect a team that didn't make the playoffs last year to win a championship. Like, I think that's going to engender a lot of goodwill with fans who just kind of want people to be honest with them.
Yeah, and I mean, Dwayne Wade spoke at length today on several topics, and another one, I think, was he talked about initiating the offense some more and whether he would be the backup point guard, I think he was asked, and Hoiberg was asked that, kind of. And Fred kind of pushed back on that a little bit, Dwayne being the backup point guard, because he said wing is easier just on the toll that it takes on Dwayne Wade, and the ball's already going to be in his hands so much, like, he doesn't have to be expected to work his butt off the first 8 or 9 seconds to get the Bulls in the offense, where he can just go to the elbow or somewhere dangerous on the court where they want him and probably initiate that. So that was, I thought, notable as the Bulls continue a few of their training camp positional battles, backup point guards, one of them. Anything else stick out to you, though, that Dwayne Wade was kind of saying today?
Well, one thing that we kind of asked him about was something that a lot of athletes have been speaking up on the last couple of days, ever since that audio leaked a few days ago of Donald Trump saying some pretty inappropriate things about women and about things like that. And then he dismissed it later as, oh, it's just locker room talk. And then a bunch of athletes have kind of come out and said, hey, that's not locker room talk. You know, some of the Clippers players have really come out strongly against that. And Dwayne Wade, since
stayed out of it.
He's a guy that has been very outspoken about a lot of different stuff in the news over the last few years or so. He obviously did that thing at the ESPYs with LeBron and Wade and
all his anti-violence with LeBron, initiatives, yeah, LeBron and Mello, awareness, CP, and
right,
conversation,
right. All this stuff. And today he said, kind of with that, I don't have a reaction to that.
Why do you think Dwayne took that approach on this one, just staying out of political politics? I know we talk about basketball politics all the time on here,
but political,
but real politics,
political politics, Cody. I like that phrase.
Well, we do reference politics a lot in the sense of Bulls organizational politics,
right?
This is yeah. So I mean, Dwayne Wade, again, that's probably him being a savvy move and veteran there. Also said he won't be playing in all three preseason games in 4 days that the Bulls have: Friday, Saturday, Monday. Dwayne Wade's not into that life.
No, he's really not, and I don't really blame him. But you know what? If he's not going to be playing in these games, he's going to have some time to do online shopping. And if he wants to buy some new clothes, whether that be underwear, socks, hoodies, t-shirts, anything else, he should go to Mack Weldon.
MackWeldon.com is the place you guys have to go as well. You can use the promo code LOBULLS and get 20% off your purchase. And as Sean pointed out, they have some of the most comfortable clothing you can ever get. Socks, underwear, hoodies, undershirts, plain tees.
They also have a line of silver underwear and shirts that are naturally antimicrobial, which means that they will eliminate odor as you wear them.
That's the best thing you could possibly ask for, so you don't have to spray Febreze everywhere you go all the time, because Mack Weldon wants you to be comfortable. If you don't like your first pair that you buy, you can keep it. They will refund you, no questions asked. They do underwear, socks, shirts like no one else. So get to MackWeldon.com. Use the promo code LOBULLS for 20% off. Now, Sean, a couple of news and notes from Bulls practice.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Snell has rolled his ankle, out for no timeline, but a few
Fred
days.
Said a little bit. He said a little while. So, you know, this is the Bulls, and it's an injury. So that a little bit could mean 3 days, it could mean 3 weeks, it could mean 3 months.
I feel like maybe we should know some Hoiberg isms by now in year two.
No, this isn't a Hoiberg thing. This is a Bulls thing. Because remember, I mean, this just goes back to, I mean, Luol Deng was day to day with the spinal injury. Like,
yeah.
This is a recurring, like, it doesn't matter who the personnel is, because the Bulls have a different medical staff than they did back then, and this isn't a Thibodeau thing because they have a different coach now. But like, this is just whenever this kind of happens with a Bulls player, you know, Fred Hoiberg says, yeah, Tony Snell is out for a little while. I took a little while to mean, you know, maybe more than a couple days, but that's just me.
And Bulls coaches too, I mean, Fred as well as Tom Thibodeau obviously have a long track record and history of, like, they don't ever want to play doctors for even a single second, really. They're a little annoyed by those questions anyway, because it's not their area of expertise. And when you're asking them about injured players, all they can really think of is, dang it, that injured player isn't on the court getting better and
right,
helping our offense.
Right.
So that's why, like, the timelines and estimates they might give you are never close. It does sound like Denzel Valentine, sprained ankle. In Bulls terms, this is recovering as well as you possibly could from a sprained ankle. We don't know what that means, but he is doing treadmill work, spot shooting, and is supposed to start side-to-side movement probably pretty soon.
Yeah, that's what the impression that Hoiberg gave us today was. He did say, after Denzel originally had that injury, that they were hopeful that he'd be able to play in the last two preseason games, which are the 17th and the 20th, so
yeah.
The 17th is this coming Monday, so a little less than a week from now, which would make sense with the timeline of out 2 weeks.
Yeah, and they need him. They want to see what he can provide, and after that final game on the 20th, they will have 7 days off before their season opener on the 27th, and probably between the 20th and 27th is when we'll find out who wins the Bulls' starting power forward job, because Fred Hoiberg said today he does want to use the rest of the preseason, or he plans on using the rest of the preseason, to evaluate that position battle, and then insinuated that he would tell us after that and before the season opener sometime. So still some time left in that, obviously. It seems to be between Taj Gibson and Nico Mirotic for the most part. Fred also said he wants to continue to see what Bobby Portis can bring there. They've each gotten a start so far. Taj, far and away, clubhouse leader in terms of play and merit. But again, we've talked about this all the time, the function of the offense. Nico starting there is probably best. Fred was asked about if he does it on based on merit or based on offensive continuity today. And he basically said they look at a ton of numbers, which suggests the continuity part of how the offense is going to work and flow, and whether you can be efficient with Nico stretching the floor and the other slashing to the hoop. But he also then kind of hedged and said, yeah, basically how well you play is kind of a really big deal.
Yeah, and as it should be. I mean, you can't, at the same time as, yes, it would make the most sense for the Bulls from a skill set and a fit standpoint if Mirotić ends up winning the starting spot, just because of his shooting and what that brings that Taj Gibson doesn't bring. If they both keep playing the way they've been playing in preseason, you really can't justify not starting Taj.
Yeah, I mean, right now, that gives you the best chance to win. Again, that's the short-term versus the long-term idea, too, probably. Like, you want to give Mirotić as much opportunity as possible to prove himself. But, again, you signed Dwayne Wade. You signed Rajon Rondo. You're playing to win now. And if Taj gives you a better chance on opening night to win, you probably need to do that. I mean, last year they had a whole year to let Nico figure it out and get through the struggles of the offense the way the season played out, and it didn't work out. Like, there's no time, I don't think, to waste games and losing because you're trying to get Nico to figure it out. So I think by the end of this, it will hedge toward being merit-based, as it probably should. And Nico's really got to close that gap and play well in these final, what, four games if he's going to get it. I mean, if it's a toss-up decision, no doubt I could see Hoiberg, you know, going with Mirotić on the fit, probably. But right now, it just doesn't feel like a toss-up at all.
If you made me guess today who's going to be the starting power forward on opening night against the Celtics, I think it's going to be Taj Gibson. But you never know. I mean, Nico did look really good in the last preseason game. Maybe that's just what he needed to get him out of his slump, and he was able to carry some of that momentum towards the last few preseason games. And if he puts together a consistent few games, you know, Friday, Saturday, and Monday are the next three preseason games. If he was able to put that together, maybe that'll, you know, drive Fred's decision-making process more in his direction. But as of right now, I mean, it's clearly Taj's spot to lose.
Yes, and sadly, Dwayne Wade won't be playing a role in this decision. He was asked about that, too, whether he would make a suggestion to Hoiberg, and he said, earlier in his career, when he's a little bit more in his prime, he wasn't afraid to tell coaches what he thought about who should be playing where, but he won't be doing that with the Bulls in the power forward spot. That is all Fred Hoiberg's decision. He's staying out of it because he cited relationships, and then it gets confusing and hard, and you're tied to people.
Well, but then he also said he feels the same way about, you know, front office stuff. He's not going to be in here telling Gar and Pax to trade this guy or try to bring this guy in or any of that. So we're not, you know, there are all the jokes about, like, Coach LeBron, right? GM LeBron in Cleveland. I think Wade kind of saw what happened when the players tried to get involved there. And in their first season in Miami with the big three, LeBron tried to get Spo fired. And Riley just was like, no, we're not doing that. That's my guy. I'm not going to let you make the decisions around here. Wade saw that, and that might have been the turning point where he's just like, okay, I can't be the one doing this.
Yeah, I mean, Pat Riley's like the only person to really ever tell LeBron no, probably.
That's why he had his best years in Miami, because he could just focus on playing basketball. He didn't also have to be the GM and be the coach and be the guy that, like, kept everybody else on the same page.
I mean, this bowl season would get wild if Dwayne Wade gets involved in personnel decisions leading up to the trade deadline.
Honestly, that might be great if that happened, because I honestly trust his basketball acumen at this point maybe more than I do some of the people in the Bulls front office.
Well, Gar did not hit on the moves last year that he should have, most notably probably hanging on to Pau Gasol at the trade deadline, not getting anything. For him, I think that was kind of a mismanagement of the market, what he expected and what he thought about was going to happen with the Bulls in the final, what, 6, 8, 10, 12 weeks of the basketball season, which we all saw. Dwayne Wade, he can always text LeBron if he needs to, though. Banana Boat references today.
He did. He said he called it our famous group chat, which is the Banana Boat squad of him, LeBron, Carmelo, and Chris Paul. And then I jokingly, like I said, oh, that's the Banana Boat squad. And he's like, yeah, the Banana Boat group.
And he said that he texted the Banana Boat text thread, Fred was kicking our ass over here in practice. So, like, so just, Dwayne Wade's spreading the word that Bulls practice is tough.
So, are you saying, Cody, that Dwayne Wade is telling his friends that Fred Hoiberg is coaching the Bulls harder?
Basically. I mean, I don't know how else to read into that. but we'll have to keep an eye on that, certainly. I do think that wraps up most of what we had for you today. As always, you can follow us at Locked On Bulls on Twitter, at Hyken, at Cody Westerlin as well. Find us on email at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. Send us all your basketball questions there. Advertising inquiries, always welcome there as well. And most of all, subscribe to us.
That's right. You can find us on iTunes. Make sure you leave us a 5-star review. You can also find us on Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, anywhere that you can find podcasts. Thanks today to Mack Weldon for sponsoring the episode. You can go on MackWeldon.com, use the promo code LOBULL, get 20% off your first order, and we will be back with you tomorrow.